now.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Coming up on 7 minutes after the hour, this is the Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And you know what? I'm excited. It's the 21st day of February. And that means something very special. You know what it means? You know what the 21st day of February means? Oh, no, not the conventional stuff. The 21st day of February means that February is almost over. Only 7 days left in this most miserable of all months. See, looking back in, now this is just me. But look, whoever the genius was that set January the 1st, was that Julius Caesar? I don't know. Who set January 1st as the beginning of the new year should have been taken out and just beaten. The new year should start with spring. The new year should start with, March. At least. April, maybe. February should be the end of things. This is it's just a grim month, and it's going to be so good to get out of it. Yeah, and we got a little hint of it here today in the beautiful, what's left of the mountains of West Virginia. It was gorgeous. High blue skies in the afternoon, and you think, not too much longer, and it'll be like nice all the time. But of course, we still got some winter to put up with. But February, I guess it's just a bias I have. I will be glad to see it gone. There's a reason that it is the shortest month of the year, because it's awfully hard to tolerate. Valentine's Day is your Groundhog's Day and Valentine's Day are your February holidays. Blech. But with March comes hope and the little daffodils poking their little heads out of the soil. And it's pleasant. So I'm trying to be optimistic here. I'm desperately trying to be optimistic here, because it's kind of hard to be optimistic these days. It's hard to be optimistic when you look at headlines like "Bomb Kills 21 as Iraqi Leaders Urge to Unite." You gotta wonder, does George Bush have a little? Is he keeping track on the bathroom wall in the White House? One little, two little, three little Iraqis. Four little, five little, six little Iraqis. Seven little, eight little, nine little Iraqis. 10 innocent dead Iraqi civilians. Yeah, I know, I got no business singing. But does he keep track? Does anybody ever look at him and say, George? Nah, nobody does. You don't say that to a king. You only say things like that to a representative of the people. You don't say that to someone who thinks that he's, above it all. No, you don't. We're bringing freedom to the Iraqis, even if they're dead. So, no. I think he does keep track to some degree, but he's gleeful in it. I think he's got a separate little line of one little, two little, three little, four little, five little dead black people from New Orleans. We know what the Republicans are. We know what the Republicans are. We know what the conservatives are. Hateful. And don't forget it for a minute. And it was uplifting last night to see this idea that was first put forward by our friend Art in Eugene, Oregon, for a silent protest on Good Friday at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the hour when tradition has it that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, breathed out and did not breathe in again, the hour of Christ's death. To have a silent protest at federal buildings and courthouses and greens, but just sit down, eat a sandwich, be absolutely quiet, somber, earth-toned clothing. No banging on the pots, no banging on the pans, because silence is terrifying. They know how to, you know, they know how to deal with the noisy people. Then you just bring in the riot police, and you did with the shields and the clubs and the truncheons and the helmets and the great big shields, and you whomp the hell out of the noisy people, and you think, well, you know, okay, that's over. On the other hand, people sitting quietly, what do you do with them? They, those people, pose a problem. So it doesn't matter, you know, it'll be one or two of us. One or two of you. Be nice if there could be a thousand or few here and there. Not that the corporate-controlled so-called mainstream media is going to notice it. No, of course they won't. But just to sit quietly and observe on Good Friday the fact that so much more death has been brought on, ostensibly in the name of that one who died on that that cross timber. That's a lovely idea, at least in my book. But it is. It's out of this story, a car bomb killed at least 21 people in Baghdad on Tuesday, hours after, this is the interesting part, hours after Iraqi Prime Minister Ibrahim al-Jafari angrily rejected U.S. warnings to the Shiite majority to embrace sectarian rivals in a new government. They're not going to do that. The Shia and the Sunni have been at each other since, what, 600, 650, 700 A.D.? And apparently Ibrahim al-Jafari is somewhat feeling his oats, because after Jack Straw, that moral man, British Foreign Secretary, agreed that the government of a government of national unity should be formed in Iraq. Well, al-Jafari came out and he said, when someone asks us whether we want a sectarian government, the answer is, no, we do not want a sectarian government, not because the U.S. ambassador says so or issues a warning. We do not need anybody to remind us. Thank you. Now, does that... See, he was kind of feeling his oats, but he needs to understand. And I don't know if he does understand. I don't know if anybody's turned the lights on for poor Ibrahim al-Jafari, because you can be a buddy of the Bush family, and you can be an enemy of the Bush family day after that. Recent history is littered with the people that the Bush family has stuck the shank into somewhere along the way. Manuel Noriega, you know, Manuel Noriega was our pal, our bosom buddy. You know, phone calls to the White House and, how you doing, Manny? Doing good. But then he got off the reservation, and everything went to caca because, well, you know, there was a little cocaine trafficking deal going through Panama. You remember all of that. And, of course, there's Saddam himself. Bosom buddies with Donald Rumsfeld. He got off the reservation, too. Look where he is. If I were Ibrahim al-Jafari, I think I would be a little bit more circumspect, and I would darn sure not get on any small aircraft or ride in any impromptu convoys outside the green zone. Because, you know, we do have that little problem over there. They all look the same to us. And a sniper could pick him off just as easily as picking off a terrorist. I thought that was Mr. Al-Sadr. No, sorry. That was Mr. al-Jafari. But this Pollyanna view that the right has, that it's gonna be sunshine in Iraq all the time. I mean, it's not even that dippy on Teletubbies. For God's sakes. Oh, my God. It's the Teletubby administration. Happy Iraq.
Tubby custard.
Iraqi peace. No Iraqi peace. At least not until we're gone. And then, after we're gone and the Shiites have cleaned out all the Sunnis and taken out their 1,400 years of revenge on them and did to the Sunnis what Saddam did to the Shiites. And after they've done that, maybe then they'll be at peace because they'll have a nice alliance with Iran, with whom they share a common common religious bond, a common ethnic bond. Kind of. Then maybe there will be peace, but not before. And you know that whether they realize it or not, the Iraqis need to take into consideration there was a lesson for them in the Palestinian elections. Hamas was democratically elected in Palestine, and once that happened, all of our talk about democracy gone. You know, democracy's only good if it's our kind of democracy. You know, the kind of democracy that we would impose at the point of a bayonet. Wow. Yeah, that's us. I tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back. You know the drill. Your phone calls are always, always, always welcome. 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. This is Head On.
Schoolboy stuff, a sticky sweet romance. She makes you wanna scream, wishing you could get inside her pants. So you bend it back away while you squeeze it.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
I'm Janice Ian. Do you remember how excited you were at the start of summer every year and how the summer just started to drag on after a few months and you couldn't wait to get back to school, see your old friends, make new friends, get new books and a new locker and a clean slate? Well, you should have been excited about music class, too, because that was a special room where you went to sing, perform with your friends, and learn all kinds of interesting stuff about great composers, instruments, different kinds of music and songs. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped to spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them, and make sure they get involved with music in school and in their lives.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Then 22 minutes after the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob, and I tell you what, let's go straight to the phones. David is with us, calling from Nashville. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Quite well. The snow is all gone out of my yard, and you know I'm ready for it to do it again.
Is it gonna?
We don't know. Good grief! I've had 3 weekends in a row with the ground covered with snow. And that's pretty darned unusual in the middle of Tennessee.
Well, yeah, I'd say. I mean, you know, Nashville gets some snow, but not a bunch.
Well, but in this little area north of Nashville, you know, a few hundred feet in elevation, 50 miles closer to the prevailing westerlies and the jet streams and, you know, that stuff that comes straight from the North Pole, impeded only by fence posts in Iowa.
yeah, that.
By golly, I tell you what, it makes a difference. Well, politically, and now for something completely different. Is the port ownership issue dead?
Oh no. I figured I hadn't gotten to it yet. I'm kind of ported out after last night. I try not to beat dead horses too frequently, and I'm still feeling guilty about Buckshot Cheney. You know, I wore that one out.
Well, I tell you what, I bet historians wear it out more than you do, but I got rejuvenated regarding the ports. I am mad enough to smoke a pickle right now.
No kidding. Share.
Because I heard Bandar Bush say something from a news conference today. I don't know if you heard the same thing.
No. The real Bandar Bush?
Yep.
The guy that got called home when his Prozac kicked in?
No, this is W. This is the American branch of the Bin Laden family.
Yeah, oh, Dear Leader.
Dear Leader. Dear Leader had a little news conference, and somebody, someway, somehow managed to jog his memory that most of America, Democrats, Republicans, guys that haven't cared about anything in decades, are waking up to the fact that the control of our ports could be in the hands of a foreign country, which provided a significant part of the financing to drop the buildings on 9/11. You know, all those little funny tie-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this news conference, and in one of those unscripted moments, and right now, the hairs on the back of the neck, you know, white though they may be, are beginning to, like, stand up. He says, I struggle to create a sentence in that chimpanzee brain of his. I understand America's concerned about security. I understand that. I understand that, but America, you need to understand your government has looked at this, and it's just fine. That's almost verbatim, Bob.
Mm.
It's as if he is a husband in the 1890s.
Honey, sugar, don't worry your pretty little head. That's the kind of things I worry about. You just go on back about your knitting.
Exactly. Keep the crochet coming. Tend to that swelling belly, baby. Or he would have probably said,
what are you doing with your good Sunday shoes on?
Oh, your feet swelling a little bit. That's just going to make them last one more season. It was the most condescending, irritating, just demeaning piece of crap I've ever heard. That weasel, that chimp.
Yeah, I don't, David, you're right. I don't take kindly to being condescended to by anyone, especially a moron.
Well, if anybody wants to, I heard it on NPR. I heard it this evening. Anyone can go to NPR, All Things Considered, in the evening of Tuesday, February the 21st, and just, you know, look down the menu, and you can hear him say, your government has looked at it for you, and you have no need to worry.
Didn't, didn't the government look into the issue of airport security, David? Do I remember something called the Hart-Rudman report that was laid on W's desk within days of him taking office in 2001 that he then handed off to FEMA? The government looked into that too, right?
Thank you for being rational. I wasn't for about 15 miles of my drive home. I blistered. Anything that was on the inside of my windshield came off in flakes. For the, and I was screaming.
Is this,
the only thing that weasel, that corporatist, that greedy little, can I say bastard on the radio?
Say it twice.
The only thing that greedy little bastard didn't say was, don't y'all realize Bush family made a lot of dough selling out? It'll work for America.
Jesus.
It was all right there, Bob.
Where was he? I mean, any idea? Was this one of those set pieces where he speaks to the faithful? Was there applause behind this?
I don't know. I just heard that there was the setup story, and there was the NPR announcer saying, and President Bush advised America that everything was okay. Bloop. And they dropped him in, and right after that, you know, I lost all rational.
I gotta look this up during the break or something. I was a little bit out of the loop today, running around trying to get some errands done on the technical side of the show, and I missed that. I hate it. I'd love to have the audio of that. You remember the poster, David, years and years and years ago that showed the old dude inside the astronaut suit that said, sleep tight tonight, America, your military is at work. You remember that?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. He's about 100 years old. You know, both teeth could be seen.
Right. This is that.
The eyes didn't track in the same direction. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I may have one.
No, I'm not going to let go of this thing, because I got a bunch of stories in the stack tonight you want to know why they got the job? I got why they got the job, David. Headline, Dubai company set to run U.S. ports has ties to administration. That's...
Oh, it's another inside Kellogg Brown Root and Badai.
Yeah. Al Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Exactly.
Yeah, in this...
Brownie, oh, Lordy.
Well, in this instance, one of the cronies is John Snow, Treasury Secretary, the Trekkatary.
And now for our English-speaking audience.
Right, John Snow, the Treasury Secretary, heads the federal panel that signed off on the deal, okay? And by the way, I don't know how, you know, the details are just kind of trickling out on this, David. When we talk about ports, most people don't know exactly what ports we're talking about. In this particular instance, how about control of Manhattan's cruise ship terminal?
Oh, my Lord.
How about control of Newark's, this is a fun one, container port?
Oh, my God. Well, you and I discussed last night what interesting things could come out of two oxygenated, you know, sea land containers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just load the troops up, let them come out. There's three armed Humvees in each one of them. And just let them come blowing out, and that's that. Or, you know, the hiring policy for that cruise line that's going to do a little trip around an island somewhere, and ooh, just one of them happens to have brought along a vest with some explosives in it.
Well, here's the fun part.
Nice retirees from New Jersey go up in pink mist.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you know who Jon Snow is or was before he replaced Paul O'Neill as Treasury Secretary?
The name rings a sweat on the palms.
Well, he was chairman of CSX, which, among other things, used to be the C&O Railroad.
Yeah, all right.
Well, they used to own some international port operations themselves, CSX did. But they decided to put them on the auction block. And they sold their port operations, David, to DP World. Same bunch.
There we have it.
For $1.15 billion in 2004.
I say again, the Bush family has become bazillionaires, selling America to anyone with money. He wants America to sell America.
Oh, but it gets better. It gets better. I have more.
You devil, you.
I hate these bastards, David. God, I hate them.
I threw the door open, and you got chapter and verse just to take it off the hinges.
Our other crony is David Sanborn, and I'm not talking about the sax player.
Oh, no. Not the fellow that struggled through polio as a kid.
No. This is David Sanborn. He's in charge of DP World's European and Latin American operations, okay?
Didn't he almost become prosecuted for a couple of things?
Well, no, actually, instead of being prosecuted, he was nominated last month by George Bush to head the U.S. Maritime Administration.
Friend of the family means he should have been prosecuted.
I mean, this ain't even difficult anymore.
You won't have to take two layers off the onion until enough proof falls out of it to convict every single one of these profit-mongering, greed-driven scumbags. And I'm sorry to all the scumbags in the world that I've insulted by linking them to these.
Yeah, going a little rough on the scumbags.
Exactly.
But, you know, the whole deal here is what we, you know, and it, you know, this is that conflict. This is that business stuff that, well, you know, the Bushes are good at business. They understand it better than we do. But the fact of the matter is, the British outfit, just like CSX sold its port operations to DP World, well, the British outfit was sold to DP World. It's not like DP World, you know, nobody put a for sale sign on the port of Baltimore. I'm sorry, Baltimore. Nobody put a for sale sign on the port of Baltimore. This is all business. You know, I mean, and I use business in the sense of the great line from The Godfather, you know, tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business. It's business. And,
I'm sorry, the Corleones had much better ethics than the corporatists.
Well, the hell yes, they did. I mean, you know, there was a reason behind what they did. There was a reason behind the horses' heads and, you know, all of that. And you know, this means that Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. There was a reason behind that. This is just pure, unmitigated, absolutely filthy... Greed isn't even a sufficient word anymore, David. Avarice, does that cover? You know, that's one of those biblical words, right?
I think so. You know, not being the biblical student that you are, but if their hyper gluttony ever fails them and their resolve wanes, all they need to do is go to church, and somebody will tell them in 2 or 3 years they're going to fly to heaven on the wings of something or another, and so they just go. Well, why don't we just gather all the toys we can before we go? It's so disgusting.
Why does I mean, you know, if you had, I mean, if this was even like Nixonian, where you had to go like through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 layers of the onion,
No, you.
And you got to do detective work. That, you know, this is, you know, this is the scum also rises. It's right there for everybody to see, David.
No translation, no ability to deal in permutations and matrices and going that if this, then that.
Yeah, no dot connecting, no triangulation, none of that.
None. It's like, screw the USA, we're going to make a bunch of dough, build a gated community, and screw the rest of America. Oh.
I mean, it goes on and on and on. I remember, I'm sorry to monopolize your call, but I love the interplay. I remember right after we started the Afghanistan thing, David.
Yeah.
You know, we were going to root out the Taliban. And I remember writing to an email to a friend of mine and pointing out the fact that back, you know, years before it even happened, we had already laid out a deal for a natural gas pipeline that ran to the Caspian Sea Basin all the way through Afghanistan and Pakistan to the sea. And I remember this friend of mine writing me back, you know, you're just saying that because you hate George Bush. There ain't no such thing. Headline, India to join Afghanistan Pak gas pipeline. Ahead of the visit of U.S. President George Bush, India has decided to join the U.S.-backed Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan pipeline.
Well, imagine that. You know, it's just like...
Well, I mean, you do know who was chief negotiator on that whole pipeline layout, don't you?
Probably Chalabi.
Close, but not quite to the cigar yet. He was an executive with Unocal.
Oh, boy.
Fine fella, spoke English real well, got on with the Afghanis pretty good, knew how to wear the funny robe and the little French fry cooker hat. Hamid Karzai.
Oh, wow. Knew to take his shoes off before he went in the pen?
Yeah. Hamid Karzai.
Oh, boy. And where is he today? Oh, doing well, is he? I think so.
Yeah, just sitting there clipping coupons and counting his options.
Gosh, Bob.
You don't even have to try anymore. I mean,
they don't even care about the man behind the curtain. They're going to do it, and they're going to say...
Dadgum curtain's gone, David.
They're going to tell you either you didn't see it or take it and like it. Whoops, almost said the B word.
I mean, yeah. We spent four years, a lot of people in this country, and Democrats, I'm talking about Democrats, David, spent 4 years thinking that these guys were evil geniuses. And they're not. They're not the Corleones, David. They are common, no-good street punks. I mean, this is the dude in the alley with the TV under his arm telling the cop, yeah, this guy gave it to me. Yeah, back there in the alley. Yeah, we're not these aren't evil geniuses. Street
but
punks.
Bob, we're the cop. The American people are the cop. And
for 4 years we went, oh, the guy gave it to you? Well, okay, I'll be on my way.
But we're not calling them. We're not making them we're not doing anything which makes our little Friday the 13th, our little Good Friday. Wasn't it Friday the 13th?
Friday the 14th.
14th. Whoops.
At least
never mind.
It
David can't count. Good Friday. I'll be at a federal building somewhere. Where will you be?
Going to find me a federal building.
It's time for action. I want everybody to know that for any of us that watch the 60s, were offended by kids in the street screaming things we didn't like to hear. All you had to do was wait a few years, and what the kids in the street were screaming turned out to be the God's honest, unvarnished truth. Well, once the kids in the street had made their point and done their deed and made a difference, I think some of us foolishly, lazily thought, it's done, and it's done forever. It's cemented. We've done that now. We've taken that, and we will never be. It'll never be taken away from us. They have, Bob. The phrase we need to. Maybe it's for shirts. I don't know. It's time to do it again.
Do it again. Yeah, well, you know, you remember the Nike thing with the just do it?
Exactly.
Not just do it. Do it again.
Do it again. And America can. America will. It's going to take, I think, longer to cause people to wake up to the fact that nothing else is going to work. Like Pennsylvania right now, you know, Santorum, the guy that wants to play with dead babies.
Yeah.
He's like double digits behind.
Well, yeah, but all
the kids in Pennsylvania.
God, there's this mental thing going on here because there's a Santorum story today.
Well, of course there is.
He got a $500,000 loan that is not available to anybody else among his constituents in Pennsylvania from this little itty-bitty-bitty bank in Philadelphia that said it was only going to give loans to its high, you know, its high-dollar investor class members.
Oh, brother. Well,
Santorum's not a member. He's not a high-roller investor. He ain't nothing but, you know, just another political street punk.
Well, that's it. I need to put some lye and some hot water into a large bucket in the backyard. I need to take care of something, Bob. I need to run around the house 2 or 3 times screaming.
don't forget to pluck your eyeballs out.
I will, and I'll break a few teeth on the rock just like the brother in Hawaii. Once the ugly, ugly Christians had told him that everything that made Hawaii beautiful was ugly. You know, gee whiz, little red devil line, a bucket, hot water. Yep, something's calling me. I need to go, Bob.
Take care, David.
I shall. Keep spreading the truth, Bob.
I'm trying. God knows. We just need a bigger spreader.
Exactly.
Later.
Talk to you later.
Bye now. Oh, it's all there. Every bit of it. Every last stinking bit of it. It's all there to be seen. We talk about, you know, oh, this is Rovian, and I'm guilty of it. I'm part of the problem right now. We treat these common street punks like they are arch criminals. We treat them, how many, let's see, what was it last week, people drawing references between Dick Cheney and the Burgess Meredith as the Joker? Yeah. You know, arch criminals. The masterminds of the criminal war. No. No, the only thing that separates these guys from the Article 99A criminal dumbass violators in any given county jail or regional holding facility is money. The kid with the stereo under his arm is no different than George W. Bush. It is merely a matter of power and influence, right? I mean, that's the way I see it. I love the way this story is worded. Ahead of the visit of U.S. President George W. Bush, India has decided to join the U.S.-backed Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan pipeline. Ahead of the visit. Now, why are they doing that ahead of the visit? What do they want from him? What are they doing to... Why is there a need to appease him? Because, of course, this is all going to inure to the benefit of some Bush crony. The joint Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan-India pipeline doesn't belong in its entirety to either Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, or India. They just get what goes through it. They don't get the toll charges. Somebody else gets that. The deal originally was for Unocal to build it. And I'm not kidding about Hamid Karzai. You probably know that. But he was the dude for Unocal who brokered this deal as an executive with that oil company. Was it Unocal that... I think it was. Was it Unocal that the Chinese oil company was trying to buy? They are trying. The Bush administration, the Bush cronies, the Bush business boys, the billionaire boys club are doing everything in their power to sell America for whatever they can get. They're selling it on the cheap, sunshine. As long as they get their cut. This is street criminality. If this was being done by anybody but the Bush administration, the Federal Department of Justice would be down on them with a warrant for RICO, racketeer-influenced corrupt organization practices, would be down on them like dogs on a boneyard, and their ancient grandmother's houses would be seized and forfeited in the process. But if it's done by a Bush, well, the religion industry and the values voters, they say, well, what do you expect? They're rich. They're just business people. And that's just business. Let's take a break. Your phone calls are welcome. 877-443-2366. Bob@headonradio.com is the email address. And that's who I am. I'm Bob, and this is Head On.
Thievery.
Yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Bobby, we're back. About 10 minutes before the hour. The most, and we will, we're going to take a long, hard look at this ports business in the next hour, I suspect. But I want you to be able to see what it means when a capo from the Bush family comes to knock on your door. We talked about this TAPI, the Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India natural gas pipeline that is, you know, the Bush family is up to their necks in, you know, oil interests, Bush cronies, that kind of thing. This thing, the cost of the project is $2.9 billion for the segment from Turkmenistan to Pakistan, and an additional $600 million for the extension into India, okay? That's fresh money. Now, as it stands, there's already something out there called the IPI. And that's the Iran-Pakistan-India pipeline. Following it so far? The Iran-Pakistan-India line, no good. Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan line, good. Iran-Pakistan-India line, in existence. Officials said the pipeline from Turkmenistan would be more easy to implement than the Iran-Pakistan-India line, as it already had the backing of the Asian Development Bank. Asian Development Bank? Anybody want to guess? Do they have the World Bank on speed dial? You know, the World Bank. Who heads the World Bank again? Paul Wolfowitz. Bush crony. Do you see how it all begins to come together? And, of course, the Iran-Pakistan-India line is no good either, because we're going to destroy that pretty soon if it gets off the ground when we start the bombing of Iran and steal their oil. And their sovereignty. On the other hand, yeah, I mean, this is mob mentality. This is mob tactic. Pure and simple. This is, you know, you wasn't planning on signing up for that Iran-Pakistan-India line there, was you? Because you don't want to do that. That ain't no good for you. No, you want to be part of the good one. You want a pipeline? Have we got a pipeline for you? The Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India line. That's the line you want to be part of. Sure you do. Because you've got a lovely family, and I'd hate for George Bush to have to do anything to them. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good, you?
Okay. Listen, don't you understand why we can't use that Iranian pipeline?
Am I missing something?
Well, I mean, that'd be like turning your ports over to an enemy or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My God. I mean, this is unbelievable. You know, number one, see, to be honest with you, I haven't been following ports most of my life. And, you know, I was upset to find out before these guys, why should anybody run our ports except us? Even the British.
Now, whom we like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're pretty nice guys. Of course, they've been led the wrong way, too. Only their people got a lot more guts than we do. I mean, their people yell and scream more than America.
Right.
I don't know. It's, you know, like, okay, we turn the ports over to them. we don't have any heavy industry left. You know, what if we ever really got in trouble again?
Oh, we're screwed.
Everybody that we'd have to depend on is a potential enemy.
Right.
You know, China, you know, they own all our debt. Now they're talking about going to the euro, which, you know, everybody, oh, that would never happen. Yeah, right, okay. You know, everybody, I'm sure everybody thought we'd never turn our ports over to the United Arab Emirates either.
No.
Well, I hope this wakes the American people up. I truly do. You know, something has to. Somewhere along the line, something has to. And, you know, I made a pledge here not too long ago, and I've kind of fallen off of it. I want to renew that, and I think everybody else should. Impeachment. You know, we have to talk about impeachment every day. In every conversation, I don't care if you're talking to a right winger or who you're talking to, you got to bring up impeachment. You know, this has to, I mean, this guy.
And not just impeachment, Wayne, double impeachment.
Oh, double, triple. I mean, yeah, the whole top brass got to go. You know, well, and you got to go on down too. And Denny Hastert, you know, when we get to you, why don't you just quit so we don't have to impeach you?
Right.
I mean, you know, we have to have a, you know. And I'll tell you, the brother David, talking about the guys that had morals and stuff in the 60s.
Yeah.
I saw a very frightening thing today. I got my my monthly copy of AARP.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn is 60 years old.
Oh, dude.
Think about that, brother Dave. If the porch wasn't depressing enough. She looks good, though.
Yeah.
She looks real good. Yeah.
Well, you know, 60 looks better than it used to, Wayne.
Well, yeah, it did. You know, I mean, we got, you know. Yeah, it does.
I mean, I've got a photograph of my great-grandmother. She looks, well, she looks slightly better than Mean Jean Schmidt and slightly worse than Granny Clampett.
She was only 42.
She was 40 when it was taken.
Right.
After, like, kid number 13.
Well, you know, it's all the preservatives we eat and stuff.
Well, that's true.
We're like pickled.
Yeah, well, you can bury us without embalming us now.
Oh, yeah, you can. And we'll last forever, you know. But, almost close to styrofoam.
But I like what David says. That, you know, you know, you guys did it once before. It's time for you to do it again.
I'm ready, you know. I mean, you know, I might be 60. Actually, I'm a little over, but I'm still a hippie at heart, buddy, and proud of it.
Right.
You know.
And you know what? There's
proud of it.
There's a few lessons you might could teach.
Yes.
To my generation and generations younger.
And those would be.
Well, I mean, how you did it the first time? Well, I mean, maybe minus the groovy chemicals.
Oh, now you want to take all the fun out of it. I mean, you think you stand in front of a tank straight? Just kidding. Just kidding. Officer, whomever.
Yeah, Brother Fred.
Right.
Agent Fred.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, no, I'm serious. Your generation has a job in front of you. I mean, I'm sorry my generation's a bunch of screw ups.
So you're going to dump it off on us again?
No, we're there to learn.
You're going to help?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
We can't lift heavy things, you know.
No, we'll do the lifting. I mean, that's what Generation X and, you know, there'll be somebody there to do the heavy lifting, but we got not a clue on how to do this. You know, we just sat back and played Pong.
Hey, I still got my headbands and stuff. Not as much hair under it anymore. But, you know, still got it, man.
You know, I mean, you guys had the whole sloganeering thing down. What can we do? I mean, I like David's just do it again, but what kind of a slogan do you come up with for ports? You know, make love, not war. That was great.
Which was great?
Make love, not war. That was great.
Oh, yes.
Now, what are you going to do with ports?
Yeah. I saw something.
There it is. Maybe there's hope for me, Wayne. Don't export our ports.
Hey, there you go. I mean, you're the master of words, buddy. You think about it for a while. You'll come up with something. I saw, you know, going along with that Make Love Not War,
yeah.
I saw a bumper sticker the other day.
Yeah.
Said life is a sexually transmitted disease. Think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to add that little bit about the pipeline. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes, yeah.
It
that's,
is,
yeah,
well,
that's just crazy.
I think that, and, you know, like Bush comes out right away, where he's never vetoed anything.
No, never.
But no, you pass that, I'll veto it, you know. We need to veto his butt. That's what we need to
do. Yeah, we do. And again, for those 4 years, I mean, I remember the commentators, Wayne. It was all, well, you know, I don't, you know, the Congress will certainly not stir it. They don't want Bush to get out his veto pen. You know, like it was a death ray, for God's sakes.
Well,
you
know, vetoes can be overridden, too.
Well, they darn sure can. And the thing is, if you think that the dude is an evil genius or that their evil genius is working with him, then you're afraid of the veto. But once you realize he's a common street punk.
This guy, right, exactly. I mean, the guy is evil. Genius don't come anywhere, you know. Now, there's some evil geniuses that direct his every move.
See, I'm even just about past that, too, Wayne.
Why is that?
I don't think they're evil geniuses. The evil geniuses don't do what they've done. Evil geniuses start a war with Iraq, win a war with Iraq, steal all the oil, and come home. That's what an evil genius does. And never lets you know. And never lets you.
Well, I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, we're talking about evil. We're talking about people that could screw up a one-car funeral, for God's sakes.
Right. I mean, the only thing they're asking more than $1 million. Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Evil. I mean, Dr. Evil's got it over on these guys.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, these aren't the Corleones. These are the little dudes knocking off straight trucks down by the wharf.
That's that. Well, impeachment, my good man.
Yeah.
Impeachment.
Impeachment.
Oh. I don't know, man. I got to get off here.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Something.
Don't do that.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
And quick break. That'd be crazier than selling your ports. Oh, my God. Where do I live? Oh, this is Head On. I'm Bob.
Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds? Don't you know talking about a revolution, it sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds. People gonna rise up, get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run. Talking about a revolution. It's finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying to those observers on. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
My, that was quick. Now, the whole pipeline thingy. And, you know, bear in mind, I, like I said, I was out and about. I was doing show stuff on the technical end. And, of course, yeah, there he was. Turn on the radio, and there's the oxymoron. America's favorite $25 million a year junkie, Flush Flimball. And what's he doing? Well, he's trying to explain to the ignorant Americans why having the United Arab Emirates running these ports is...
My friends, it's just business. It's a very good idea. This is simply a business transaction, and George Bush is a man of titanium spine, and he will not back down on this. He knows what is good for America, my friends.
Really? Really? And I think Flimball is the last one who's still on the reservation with this. Britt Hume from the F Word Network.
Well, George Bush is going to have to pull back from this decision.
And the Savage Wiener had a little on-air hemorrhage over it. Said that the Bush administration was the most crooked administration he'd ever heard tell of in his life. But that's his shtick. You know, when you hear some conservative criticize George Bush, understand that it only goes as far as the ratings do. See, you're not going to get that on liberal talk radio. Whether it's me, whether it's John and Bruce on Fourth Estate, Bruce on All Things Reconsidered, or any of the hosts on Air America, or our friends the Young Turks, you're gonna get it straight up, and it's not gonna change with the blowing of the wind. Now I'm a liberal and I'm a progressive and I'm about as liberal as they come. But I'm not going to back off on my feelings about Paul Hackett or the screwball nature of that candidacy. No. I won't carry water. And it can be generally spoken of in terms of liberal talk. Liberal talkers generally don't carry water. We formulate our opinions all by ourselves. I mean, among other things, we don't have the talking points memo that blasts through the fax machines and the emails at 5:45 a.m. that gives you your marching orders for the rest of the day, come hell or high water. We don't have that. So liberal talkers have to be a little smarter. Liberal talkers have to be a little sharper. And on top of it, we are considerably more ethical and moral than the other side is. And we realize that we're dealing with an audience that is manifestly more intelligent than the other side is. So we can't get away with sitting there and flacking for the administration, just because they pay the check. Can't do that. Let's go to the phones. Ed is with us, our good friend Ed from right here in Fayette County. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. You?
Real good. I enjoyed yours and Wayne's conversation, but it's the part that probably I'm not understanding, and I'm definitely against anybody taking over our ports, especially the Arabs and that clan. But the thing that's getting with me more than any of it Our Coast Guard is guarding those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Our police, our taxes are going to be paying them to watch. If we have to do that to the people that we're selling it to, why are we letting them in?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, it's like how many millions of dollars a year do we spend providing security to the Saudi embassy in Washington, D.C., Ed?
Hmm.
Some several.
Yeah.
It costs us big bucks.
Well,
and we're going to do it again for the, you know, for a bunch of executives from Dubai that money laundered a whole bunch of the 9/11 cash.
Well, they might as well go ahead and just give our country away between China owning it and.
Well, they're trying, Ed. They're trying.
They're doing the best they can as fast as they can. That little dictator, that he's going to veto something. You know, the Congress, for once in their life, should stand up and let him know that vetoes can also be vetoed.
Yeah, they can. But yeah, what they're waiting to see, the congressional Republicans, Ed, are cowards. They're just like their leader Bush. They're cowards, okay? And as such, they have to wait and see which way the wind's going to blow. They have to wait and see if the rest of the religion industry is going to get behind the American Family Association opposing this port deal. If it does, you know, those values voters, if it does, then, you know, they'll blow in the wind and they'll change their position and they'll go and have a chat with Karl Rove, and Karl Rove will have a chat with them, and it'll come down to which side the religion industry falls on. There's no independent thought on the other side of this debate, Ed.
Well, what gets me is just like they have these Senate hearings and stuff, just like they did on the judge, and, you know, it's all, you can see the picture before they even do anything.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, the other part of this is it all requires, and it always requires, the complicity of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you looked at the no votes on Alito, you realized we had enough people to filibuster him, except for the Democrats who enabled him, like Robert Byrd.
Yeah. I called in to Robert Byrd's office, and they said they'd relay the message to him, and I made sure they understood my disgust and regret and disappointment, all of it, that I would never support and vote for him again. And they explained to him that he talked about being a conservative country. Maybe his country, where he's from, is conservative, but when you got a state that has always sort of hoped that he was a little bit more liberal, then he's just a disappointment. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, it is
disappointing.
Republicans
ought to go ahead and put him in.
Well, but extending that line of reasoning, Ed, if this port deal is going to be blocked, like I said last night, if this thing's going to be blocked, Democrats will have to stand up and oppose it by themselves and for their own reasons. We do not dare try to reach across and hold hands with any of those filthy people on the other side.
Yeah.
Because they'll cut us off at the shoulders.
Well, I just hope for once that they can stop him. Because his attitude is, it don't make any difference what you think. It's what I'm going to do, and what I think is what counts. That is so obvious in his statement and his attitude. I watched him talk about it on the news. And Bill Maher was just on Situation Room.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you watched what's his name, late at night?
Oh, Letterman, John Stewart?
Yeah, did you hear about that program?
No.
I'm telling you, I mean, they butchered him last night and on everything. And then Dave Maher did a number on him, or Bill Maher. What's his name?
Bill.
Bill. He did a number on him on the Situation Room just now.
Well, good. I mean, it's about time that we start recognizing these people for who they are.
Well, I just had to call in and give my 2 cents worth, especially our taxes paying to guard these potential bombers or whatever. And you know, by policing it, and I don't know what they call it, what we're doing. You know, we're in control of the docks, but how? Just with the police? Just with the Coast Guard?
Right. Well, and the thing is that I've got more stories here and that I'll be going into here just in a few minutes. This thing has tentacles, okay? I mean, I started talking about it in chatting with David in Tennessee, the fact that you've got two very extremely high-level Bush cronies who have their front feet in the trough with this United Arab Emirates outfit should be enough to squirrel the deal right out of the blocks. But instead, it explains why they're doing it, because they don't know how to do anything that is remotely moral, ethical, or even legal.
Well, I'm like Bill Maher said, when he's moving his mouth, he's usually lying.
Right.
That's about what it amounted to.
Absolutely.
Well, I sure appreciate your time, and I'll be talking to you a little later.
All right. My pleasure, Ed. You take care now.
All right. And you too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, I reiterate, for those who may have missed it. That's the printer in the background, by the way. Jon Snow is Secretary of the Treasury. Before he was Secretary of the Treasury, he was Chairman and the Chief Executive Officer, whatever, of CSX Corporation. CSX Corporation sold its port operations to DP World, the same outfit from Dubai that wants to control New York, Newark, Philly, Baltimore, Miami, New Orleans. And they sold it for a cool $1.15 billion. Don't you think for a minute that there wasn't a little bit of executive stock options, or what the old-time politicians used to call sweetening, in that deal. And that's just Jon Snow. Then there's, there's David Sanborn. And this guy, he didn't sell anything to him. He works for DP World. Now, you're not going to hear that on right-wing hate radio. You're not going to hear that coming from the people who do nothing but flack for George Bush, because they're not in the fact business. They're in the flack business. David Sanborn runs DP World's European and Latin American operations, because DP World has its tentacles in European ports and Latin American ports as well. And David Sanborn runs their European and Latin American operations, and the Bush administration has nominated him to head the U.S. Maritime Administration. You know, if this wasn't so incredibly important to the future of our nation, this would be the part where you make the little joke and you play the sound clip of the church lady going, "Well, that's convenient." But like I said, talking to David, this isn't the stuff where the James Bond music plays. This isn't confusing. This isn't deep spy stuff. This isn't the stuff out of a Tom Clancy or a John Grisham novel. You know, where the ostensibly good-seeming, upright, blah, 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 the guy turns out to be the devil. These are the kind of common street punks that just get rounded up for their general criminal stupidity in other circumstances when they're not just filthy rich. Now, Western New York Representative Tom Reynolds, chairman of the National Republican Campaign Committee, wonder what he would have to say about this. "It's particularly troubling that the United States would turn over its port security not only to a foreign company, but a state-owned one." Street punks. There. Like I said, get out on the street. Take the fight to the other side. They are dummies. It's particularly troubling that the United States would turn over its port security not only to a foreign company, but a state-owned one. As if the fact that if it wasn't state-owned by the United Arab Emirates, you know, that's like communism, and the state owns it. That's like, that's socialism, ain't it? It's at least socialism. Could be communist. I didn't know the United Arab Emirates was communists. That's what we're dealing... I mean, do you hear this fool? I mean, this guy's a fool. I mean, a real, you know, take him away, Maggie kind of fool. Because, you know, being a Republican, he has to work hard not to come out as overtly hateful and racist. So he has to talk about the, you know, it's bad enough we're selling it to a foreign company, but, you know, it's even worse that it's a state-owned one. What he's saying is, it's really terrible that we're selling our ports to those brown people. Because he certainly had nothing to say about it while that UK company was doing the job, did he? Ha-ah, he didn't. So he has to clothe his racism in free... Is this what it is? Free market economics? You know, they're a state-owned company. He wouldn't... I mean, let's face facts. I mean, shine a little light on this cockroach and watch him scurry. He wouldn't be saying this if it was a state-owned... Oh, British company. Or a state-owned Irish company. Or a state-owned French company. Well, that's the French. A state-owned Italian company. State-owned Greek company. State ownership has not a damned thing to do about it. It is the fact that they are Arabs. And Republicans are racists. Really, it's there's nothing. That's it. You know, what is this one of those things where, you know, the simplest solution is most likely the correct one? I think so. The Republicans have to keep the hatred and fear of Arabs ginned up in this country, because if it's not, and they actually have to start talking about their policies, they're done. And remember, our buddy here, Tom Reynolds, is chairman of the National Republican Campaign Committee. See, what happened in the offices of the National Republican Campaign Committee when this story broke was Representative Tom Reynolds of Western New York, chairman of the Republican National Congressional Campaign Committee, said... Why did they have to do this in 2006? We're going to get our asses handed to us if they don't quit doing this stupid stuff. How bad is it when, you know, when Dear Leader goes to Pennsylvania to speak and Rick Santorum says he hears his mother calling him and he has to do his hair that day? That's what they're worried about. They're racists. They don't like brown people. But they don't like the idea of losing power more. If this was an off election year, if nothing was going to happen in November, they wouldn't care. They don't give a tinker's damn about national security. That's why we have no national security in our ports to begin with. That's why Osama bin Laden has still not been caught. That's why Zarqawi can't be found. That is why street punks, screwed up street punks. I mean, we're talking about the kind of guy that goes out and scores himself a little crack, a little meth, whatever. I'm going to go knock over the drugstore, okay? This is them. This isn't, you know, $1 million like Wayne said. No. These are not. This isn't the bald dude with the cat in the James Bond movie. This isn't even Dr. Evil. These are common, greedy little criminals, greedy little thieves. And, you know, we have complaints about how there's no transparency in government. There's plenty of transparency in government, for God's sakes. There's all the transparency in government that you could want, but we didn't want to see it. We didn't want to see through it. We Democrats, progressives, liberals, decent people, you know, we sat back and, you know, because, do you remember the riot at Miami-Dade County at the courthouse where they were counting the ballots, and all of those congressional staffers came running down there from Indiana and other Republican states, and they intimidated those people into not doing their jobs? Do you remember when that happened? You know, we sat back, ooh, they're scary. Those were the actions of street punks. Those were the actions of common, liquored-up thugs. That's what you're dealing with. You know, hey, buddy, you want to buy a watch? Hey, buddy, you want to buy a port? These... See, I'm so proud of myself, though. I'm not sitting here screaming. I'm not blowing a blood vessel. The light has gone on for me again. You know, it's one of those, well, I'll be dipped kind of moments, you know? All this time I thought that they were... But they weren't. They were just thugs. Just thugs. It always raises flags when administration officials have ties to a firm, Representative Vito Fisella, Republican of New York, said. But he insisted that stopping the deal was more important. 11 other agencies are involved with John Snow's Treasury Department Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., John Snow is the chairman of that organization. 11 other agencies. Head scratching moment. Who would be in? Who would you expect to be? What other agency would you expect to have on the Committee for Foreign Investment in the U.S.? I don't know. Let's see. That's Treasury. Defense? Might you want defense on that? Yeah, kind of. CIA, maybe? FBI, maybe? You see what I... Well, wait. We got a break to take. It's time for our evening Cup of Joe report. But when we come back, Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. This is not the Garden Club. What this is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. I just learned today that Bruce McPherson, California's Secretary of State and a typical Republican hack, has certified Diebold voting machines for use in California. These machines lie at the heart of the Republican plan to give the illusion of democracy while secretly destroying it. As usual with Republican strategy, this decision was made after hours on the Friday before a three-day weekend. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to figure out just what to talk about in these reports because there's so much going on and so much disinformation out there that it's impossible for me to put it all into 90 seconds of talk. It's gotten to the point where reading the news is like looking at a train wreck. I mean, you don't want to look, but you just can't help it. And this news was just one more item in a daily dose of bad news for all Americans, even the right-wingers who think they're benefiting from it. A lot of us on the left are working hard to try and prevent the total breakdown of this country. If things continue as they have, there will come a time when no political process will be available to us, only desperate measures by desperate people. I don't want that to happen, and neither do millions of others. And I think the only way we can keep this from happening is to make sure that we at least have free, fair, and accurate elections. And in order to do that, we have to be always on the alert so that we can shine a light on this corrupt and criminal behavior. Diebold, their slogan says, never sleeps, and neither should we. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
No, I told you we'd... I'm Bob Kincaid, by the way. I told you we'd talk a little bit more about this port business. And I got a couple of things for you. I want to start with this business of, what was the name of it again? U.S. or the Commission on Foreign Investment in the U.S. And the chairman of that commission is Jon Snow, notable at this point in time for having done significant amounts of business with DP World. And there are 11 other members of this organization. Hang on. Charles Schumer said, you know, the more you look at this deal, the more the deal is called into question. But George Bush says, trust me. No, we don't trust you. The federal panel that signed off on the $6.8 billion sale of an English company to government-owned Dubai Ports World, that deal couldn't have gone down without our permission, and we gave that permission. Dubai does not pump any oil. This is strictly business cronyism. This is the kind of stuff that gets people killed when the levees break in New Orleans. Which port DP International, DP World, wants to run. New Orleans is one of the ports that they think they are buying. This is, I remain astonished. But anyway, so the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States has 12 members. One of them is the Secretary of the Treasury, Jon Snow. Now, I want to back up. There was a press conference today. You know, it's Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, it must be Donald Rumsfeld. You know, chasing the little known gnomes and unknown gnomes and garden gnomes. And this is the exchange that went down. Question. Are you confident that any problems with security, from what you know, are you confident that any problems with security would not be greater with a UAE company running this than an American company? Rumsfeld, answer. I am reluctant to make judgments based on the minimal amount of information I have because I just heard about this over the weekend. Got that? File that. Hang on to that. Cherish that. I just heard about this deal over the weekend, so I can't talk about it. Now, bear in mind that part of the contract involving Dubai Ports World is going to be a matter of taking over a huge contract that manages, wait for it, the moving of military equipment for the U.S. Army. Peter Pace, the Marine General who's head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he too only found out about it over the weekend. Let's see, he got the Yukon score, then he got the Duke score, then he got the Illinois score, then he got the vote score from the Dubai Ports World sale, and then he got the UCLA score. That's how it was, you know, just over the weekend. Bring me another martini. Oh, what's that? We're selling our ports to Dubai? Heh, how you like that? That's how it was. Yeah, we just heard about it over the weekend. But wait,
It's a Ginsu commercial. There's more. White House spokesman Scott McClellan said the Defense Department was part of a rigorous review. The Defense Department was part of a rigorous review that apparently did not involve Peter Pace or Donald Rumsfeld. All right? Now, here's the fun part. The vote inside the committee of 12 that we've talked about, was unanimous. It was, like I said, a unanimous vote. 12-0. It was a shutout. Donald Rumsfeld is a member of that committee. He's a member of that committee. The vote was held on February 13th, and he was one of the 13 people who said, yep, sell it. Right? This is why I keep coming back to tonight's theme, common street punks. Did you steal that television, Mr. Rumsfeld? No, I just heard about there being a television stole over the weekend. I don't know what television you're talking about. And he's standing there holding the damn thing. You see? That's not evil genius. That's just flat out lying. Just lying. Dirty, rotten, old-fashioned, not telling the truth. February 13th, the vote was taken. The vote was 12-0 to permit this sale to the United Arab Emirates government, which means one dude when you get right down to it, to permit this sale to go through. 12-0. And one of those 12 was Donald Rumsfeld. 8 days ago, week ago, yesterday, and he said, I am reluctant to make judgments based on the minimal amount of information I have because I just heard about this over the weekend. All right, conspiracy theory time. Floor is open to conspiracy theories. How the hell did this happen? Has some Defense Department project gone awry and there are two Donald Rumsfelds running around? Is it that Star Trek episode with the good Rumsfeld and the bad Rumsfeld? No, they're both bad Rumsfelds. Never mind. Somebody here is lying. Yeah, I know. It's the Bush administration, Bob. Why are you surprised? But somebody is lying. This is not complicated. I am reluctant to make judgments based on the minimal amount of information I have because I just heard about this over the weekend and, you know, sitting up on his shoulder like the parrot sits on Long John Silver's shoulder, General Peter Pace of the Marine Corps says, "Brat! I just heard it over the weekend too. Brat! Polly want a new war." I was around a few years back when we impeached this president dude because he lied. Remember we said all us Democrats, we were running around, this is dumber than a head and a hog is and a butt.
impeaching a president over sex. And all the little Republicans said, this is not about sex. We don't like sex. We don't care about sex. What's in his zipper? We don't, the sex doesn't interest us. This has nothing to do with presidential sex. This has to do with lying. This is about the honor of the office. This is about decency in America. And there's bugs in our apple pie. And the flag, oh, the flag is falling because Bill Clinton had an affair. But it's not because he had an affair. No, 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 wait, that's not what he said. It's because he lied about having an affair. And $70 million. Seven times the amount that would be necessary to continue a program for neonatal hearing screening that George W. Bush wants to damned well eliminate. $70 million went into Ken Starr's dirty little pornographic report. Well, what of it? What about it? Why, lying about, I mean, it is. I mean, the little right-wing freaks that listen to this show and send me the emails and all of that crap. Can you explain to me the difference between lying about sex and lying about national security? I'm flabbergasted. I'm flummoxed. I'm done. I'm flipped out. I'm freaked. Our ports. You know, I got my little ruler out up on our great big map where we put all our pushpins where all our friends call in, and I took my little ruler and I measured the distance between Baltimore, the harbor there, and Washington D.C. and I held it up against the legend and I got a rough idea what the distance was. And they want to sell it to Dubai Ports World. And they could, oh my God. I mean, I refuse to live in fear, all right? Now, maybe this is contrary to my theory. Objecting to this sale of the ports is contrary to my theory of not living in fear, not being afraid of these, of the tourists. But there's a difference between not running around in fear and being afraid that Al Qaeda is going to hit the Poughkeepsie Walmart. There's a difference between that and actively courting disaster. Now, today on Flush Flimball's program, because I was out running around like I told you, on today's Flush Flimball program, he went on to explain that the Medicare drug bill and the government running the ports and the Katrina response were, my friends, it's all the same thing, and it proves everything. It proves everything I've been saying to you for all these years. It proves that big government is a failure. I kid you not. That's what the junkie said. That George Bush and his dirty little administration's inability to do anything right, their inability to respond to a hurricane when they're told the morning that the hurricane hits that the levees are going to breach and do nothing about it and watch 1,000 and more human beings perish in agony and fear and terror. Yeah, that was an act of terrorism, wasn't it? Yeah, and the terrorism was perpetrated by Brownie and W and Skeletor Chertoff. And that somehow George Bush's fundamental inability to do anything right, you know, to the point of thank God that breathing and heartbeat is an autonomic response or he would be dead because he would have screwed that up. And that's a proof that government can't do anything right and that Dubai should be running our ports. Really, 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 really. Tell you what, I want to take a little break here.
I want to not. I don't like it when the little blood vessels bust in my eyeballs. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff, 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
That's wrapped around me is cutting through my skin, and the doubts that I've surrounded me are finding their way in. I keep it close to me like a holy man prays in my desperate hour. It's better, better that way. So I'll come by and see you again. I'll be such a
that song. Angels came down, there's no one here they'd want to hang around. Not in the Bush administration, there isn't. Angels, angels. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. We're moving up to the top of the hour. But after we start hour number three, if you want to jump in and offer your comments, you are more than welcome to. If you get tired of hearing me flap my gums, flap yours along with me, and we'll have a damn fine old time. 877-443-2366 is the number. And, of course, email bob@headonradio.com. I got during the break. I got an email in from the forward of Sirota blog, David Sirota, and he writes the title of his, and he's at what Working for Change, I believe it is. Is that what it is? Yeah, Working for Change.
This was compliments to Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne sent this along. Titled The Dirty Little Secret Behind the UAE Port Security Flap, and this really is one to make the hair in your ears grow and your eyeballs roll back in your head. This is real bucket of lie material. Dip your head in it, pluck your eyeballs off and out and run screaming off a cliff kind of stuff. Just going to read straight from it. You ready? I'm comfortable, are you? Politicians and the media are loudly decrying the Bush administration's proposal. I wish we had some soft instrumental music for this. Proposal to turn over port security to a firm. Well, you know the story. And what he boils it down to is what it is the desire. It has everything in the world to do with the desire to move forward big money's free trade agenda. Now Wayne sent this to me, and he's the one who earlier said, you know, I didn't spend a whole lot of my life learning about ports. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, I'm with him, you know, I thought it was enough to know, you know, Mobile Bay, Tampa Bay, Miami, Charleston. Keep moving up. You know how it goes. Baltimore, Philly, New York, Boston, Newark, that kind of stuff. Who runs them? How they run? You know, Archie Bunker was a longshoreman, wasn't he? That's about the extent of my knowledge of how the ports work. But suddenly I'm on the learning curve. And just as I didn't spend and Wayne didn't spend a whole lot of time learning about ports, well, I also didn't spend a lot of time learning that. Remember NAFTA? Remember SAFTA? Remember CAFTA? Guess what? We've got a UAEFTA. A United Arab Emirates Free Trade Agreement. And we know what that really means. You know, American workers get screwed some more. But yeah, it's not in place yet, you see. It hasn't happened yet. But lordy, 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 we sure do want it to. The United Arab Emirates, a free trade agreement? Why the hell do we need a free trade agreement with the United Arab Emirates? If we still had somebody in the United States that made washing machines, they couldn't buy a 1/100th of the output of one washing machine factory. They're not going to buy a bunch of Fords. I mean, most of the people in the 1 in 10, something like that, you know, remember, the citizens of the UAE are millionaires. They ain't buying Fords, they're buying Bentleys, and they're not made here. But we got to have a UAEFTA? EFTA? I'm lost. Well, yeah, there's that. So let's talk about that in the next hour if you want to. For now, we're taking a break. The phone number, of course, is 877-443-2366. I just can't... I can't reiterate that enough. Because this isn't just my show. This is your show. And this is Head On.
Your heart is not open, so I must go. This bed has been broken. I love you so. Breathe.
the Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Hi, I'm Bruce Hornsby. You know the expression, practice makes perfect? Well, it certainly is true in music. And practicing music is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend his time, or her time. A young person who studies music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All qualities kids need to be successful in their other schoolwork. Parents, think about encouraging your kids to try out several instruments at school until they find the one that they really like, the one that really clicks for them. Get to know the school's music teacher and encourage your child to join school music ensembles. And please don't forget that your kids all have an instrument that's free and sounds wonderful, their voices.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
So Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, this is hour number three. And, yeah, I'm definitely Bob. And the idea that this... The United Arab Emirates. A UAEFTA. Yeah, that's what it is, UAEFTA. What do we... I mean, I could almost imagine somewhere along the way that some, you know, some Americans sat around and said, oh, yeah, maybe a free trade agreement with Canada and Mexico might make a little sense, you know, make, you know, be a little bit more like, you know, unity on the continent and stuff, and maybe even say that about Central America and the United Arab Emirates. You know, there's a sector of people that believe in free trade the way that certain small children believe in Santa Claus. Got to say that softly. Some of the kids kind of still do. Free trade. Oh, God. Let's go to the phones. Ben is with us from Elgin, Illinois. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
Just fine. You know, I don't have any problems with this for the reason that the people who own this company are Arabs.
Right.
I have problems with this that the people who own this company aren't Americans.
Precisely. Where if they were Arab Americans, no problem.
No problem. We need to put Americans to work. We need to put American businesses to work. We need to put American companies to work. We need to stop selling our manufacturing capacity to companies overseas.
We need to, stop the hemorrhaging.
What we need urgently are a series of tariffs. Really, really strong defensive tariffs. It ought to be a 4,000% tariff to sell a piece of manufacturing equipment that has been used in this country to anybody overseas.
Right.
Because what is happening is our working good assembly lines are being dismantled and reassembled in Yanjing province.
Well, you know, I saw a story about something like that going on in Brazil, Ben. The Chinese car industry. Rather than build their own, it's cheaper to go and buy a closed plant in Brazil, take it apart, number the pieces, and exactly what you said. You know, ship it over, rebuild it, set it up, and, you know, start competing with us.
Right.
I mean, I guess, you know what, do we already have a free trade agreement with China?
Well, you understand that the Bush family is up to their elbows in illegal, seditious dealings with the Chinese government.
Oh, well, yeah.
Okay. Why do you think we gave them our spy plane?
Oh, I remember that, too. You mean the one where Bush talked real tough until the Chinese premier said, you better apologize, and he said, which way do you want me to do it? If I didn't do it good enough the first time, I'll do it again. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. That plane, they planned to have that plane brought down there, in my opinion.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Okay.
But
this was entirely planned. We could have at any point in time ordered that plane abandoned in midair. In other words, we could have told them, you will not cooperate with the fighter jet. You will bring your plane down at sea. Of course, that would mean loss of crew. But the pilot of that aircraft would have obeyed that order.
Yeah, but, as far as the crew is concerned, you don't think we probably had a submarine somewhere around there?
We probably did, but that sort of aircraft would not survive a ditching.
Well, that's true, too.
The sort of order you give when you tell such an aircraft to put it in the drink is in order to not allow it to float.
Right. Yeah, make it go away fast.
It's time to give your life for your country.
This is one of those moments where you're almost tempted to ask that sort of Pollyanna-ish question, Ben. Why does the Bush family hate America so much?
Because they're actually adherents to the Third Reich.
Yeah. Money. My short answer is money. They don't care if it's yuans or dollars or pounds or euros, whatever it is. If it spends, if they can hoard it, not so much spend it, if they can hoard it, they love it more than they love their country.
Oh, yeah. They were all set to have been the ones making the big killing, pun intended, on Hitler. All right? They were all positioned. They would have been, you know, the next Rockefellers.
Yeah.
Except an annoying little Democrat named Franklin Delano Roosevelt got in their way. Okay?
Yep.
And that could not be permitted.
They're just hell bent on the destruction of the United States. I mean, can we just say that now?
Yes. They've been working as, you know, my opinion is they've been working as Third Reich moles ever since. Every one of them.
You mean for the nascent movement that yet remained after Hitler fell from power, that, you know, someday it'll be springtime for Hitler again? I mean, is that where this is going? I mean,
I believe it is. I really believe it is. I can't see a single policy they have adopted that leads it anywhere else.
God, I wish you were wrong, and I wish it didn't make so much sense. I mean, I wish, honest to God, Ben, I wish it didn't make sense to think that way about anybody in America, but it does.
That's what the neocons, that's what the Project for a New American Century actually analyzes as being. It's the policies from Mein Kampf.
Yeah, you can't appropriate everything. You can't call it the thousand-year reign of the American people.
You call it the new American century.
Right, you just call it a century. We're not going to do a millennium. We're just going to do a century. That's all. So we're not right. Nazis, really.
No, and you call it, you know, and you don't call your new secret police the Gestapo. You call it Homeland Security Secret Service Uniform Division.
But it's still SS, ain't it?
It's still SS. Here's something that I think people can help out with, by the way.
Okay.
I ran across an organization of motorcyclists, but not all motorcyclists. You don't have to have a motorcycle. That are going to the funerals that Fred Phelps is picketing, the soldier funerals. And they are surrounding Fred Phelps and making him invisible.
Oh, how nice.
They are called patriotguard.org.
Patriotguard.org.
Yep.
And wherever he goes, they are.
Wherever he goes, they are. And as long as you leave your politics at the curb, you're welcome.
Well, that's kind of unifying. It's kind of nice to know that can still happen in America, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I tell you what, Ben, it breaks my heart when I think that we are probably correct in asserting that these jokers read Mein Kampf and kept what they thought were the good parts.
Yeah, they read 1984 and they thought, oh, we've got some learning to do.
Oh, God.
You take care.
I'm going to. See you, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And rolling on to our friend CB from California. Hey, CB, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm sort of still a nervous wreck from all my torture tape viewing, but I felt I...
You don't get a break, do you?
No, I don't get a break.
Not just you, us, we don't get a break.
Right. And I think it's... I just heard a snippet of Ann Coulter griping about us, you know, being screaming memes and not being able to get anything straight or, you know, deal with anything right. Mm-hmm. And I felt like saying back to her, well, yeah, if you'd give us a rest for a day, maybe we could collect ourselves and function. But what I wanted to call in about was Arabs didn't do 9/11.
Okay.
They just didn't. And there's a man by the name of Stephen E. Jones, who's a physics professor at Brigham Young University.
I'm familiar with him.
Okay, well, everybody, all your listeners should know that you can get to a two-hour lecture of his via an ad on Brad Blog. Check that out. The Arabs did not do that, and I don't think the United Arab Emirates have ever really done anything to us. Not that I'm saying we should trust them with our ports or anything like
that.
Well,
yeah, I'm not trying. This is not, for me, this is not Arab focused. This is anybody but America focused. And frankly, if I was a citizen of the UK, I wouldn't want somebody else, I wouldn't want Americans running the ports there. To each unto his own or whatever. You know, Americans should run American ports, and I don't think that's protectionist or anti-xenophobic or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's our land.
Right, absolutely. But I think we just pretty much have to get used to this administration, this Congress, this Supreme Court is going to sell us down the river because, no, they don't care about America now. Capitalism has gotten to the point where no allegiance.
Well, this is the kind of capitalism that will collapse in on itself, CB,
right?
Because it can't work without some degree of regulation because, it's not even capitalism anymore when you just turn it loose without that regulation. It just turns into unmitigated, unregulated greed, and it destroys everything in its path.
Right. And it would bunch of naked natives eating dirt around fortified compounds of bazillionaires is what it's turning into.
Yeah.
And the deal is with me anyway, is I feel like you can't lose track of what is so, what is right. You were talking about the Republicans biting our arm off, when we reach out to them.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them are Americans too, fortunately or unfortunately, whatever. And I'm trying to find a way where I can interact with people who are acting stupidly. Without calling them stupid.
I know. Well, and understand, CB, I'm not advocating that you call them stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just among us. This is just a conversation among us, and I just think we need to understand among ourselves that when we go up to confront these people or to even try to dialogue with them, anything, you've got to understand that you are dealing with people. If you're honest to God, CB, if you believe half of what the Bush administration has put forward for the last 6 years, if you believed in the crap that came from Ronald Reagan, you can't be real bright, can you?
No, absolutely not. But I've sent you a few copies of some of my dealings with people.
Oh, I know,
yeah.
I know. it seems to me like you kind of know it firsthand.
I know it firsthand, and the deal is the one of the main hooks has been people resenting the living snot out of paying taxes, high taxes, any taxes, but high taxes especially.
Yeah.
And here in California, it's at a fever pitch, and I keep telling everybody, excuse me, California is where everybody wants to live, and if people want to do business here, they need to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. But they don't see it that way. And they go, we're going to lose the jobs. They're going to go over to
Silicon Valley is not packing up anytime soon and moving to Wirt County, West Virginia. Trust me. But, they don't understand that out there. I had a conversation with a friend of mine today, CB. We've got a... Now, I don't know how it is in California. Do you guys pay tax on your groceries?
No.
Okay, well, we do. We pay a 5% tax when we go to the grocery store.
Jeez! That's harsh. They started to do that to us, and we barked that one down.
Well, it is harsh, but bear in mind, you know, we have to pay a 5% tax on groceries because we refuse to tax the coal companies at the rate that they should be taxed at.
Right.
And you know, and when you confront things like this, there has got to be, you cannot run a government without a tax structure. Now, you can call it by different names. You can call it a service fee. You can call it, you know, I mean, the Bush administration is filthy with fees. They won't call them taxes because they don't believe in taxes, but they're just up to their necks in fees, all right?
Yeah, that's the California story.
Right, user fees.
Yeah.
Right.
Freaking fees.
Exactly. But somewhere along the way, government has to have revenue in order to do its job. Do, you know, and these are the questions you have to ask. Do you want the garbage picked up?
Yeah.
Do you,
yeah.
You know, when you flush the toilet, do you want it to go into your backyard or do you want it to go to a sewage facility?
Well,
I mean, but you see what I'm saying.
I absolutely see what you're saying.
And that's the way you've got to approach these people. You know, that if cutting some taxes is good, then cutting all taxes must be better. Right? I mean, ultimately, the Grover Norquists of the world, CB, the people who said that they want to weaken the federal government until they can drown it in a bathtub,
have won.
They're just about there. You know, I like being able to get garbage. You know, I wish I had that kind of garbage service where, you know, two or three times a week they came by. And I got it once a week, and it's a real pain in the butt.
Yeah, they woke me up this morning. Sounded like they took down a building or something on their way in.
But I mean, there are so many things that government... Do you like the roads? Because you know what? Private industry is not going to build a road to let you drive on it. They'll build a road for their people to drive on it, but not for you. You see what I mean? Does it make sense?
Yeah, it all makes sense.
You know, that's the way these fairly simple people have to be approached.
Well, I certainly remind them of all these things at every turn, but I don't. I hopefully I'm not a few clicks ahead of you on this thing, but I usually am, in most situations.
Okay.
I really think that it's all a done deal. That if by any miracle we can get fair elections again in time and the Democrats retake the Senate and the House, it's still all over. And there's going to be so much work trying to put something back together that we're not going to stop feeling this for the rest of our lives.
Oh, no, this is going to be a long time getting it fixed.
Yeah, and if it's even fixable.
I mean, you know, the environmentalists tell us that we may be past the tipping point on global warming.
Yeah. Yeah.
In which case we'd bet, you know, if we don't want it to just the planet to become uninhabitable, we better get busy. But you know, the economic stuff we can still fix. You're absolutely right. But every day that we wait is another day that it gets harder to do. I mean,
and I love this silent protest idea.
Isn't that beautiful?
But I'm wondering if it really doesn't come down to things like general strikes.
Well, yeah, I think that's where it does come down to.
And it has to be now.
Yeah.
You know, not...
The
world can't wait.
Yeah, we can't form a blue ribbon planning committee to determine when it is that we're going to start disrupting these people.
Right.
I've got a press release right here. Apparently world can't wait is at it again. Bless their hearts.
Yeah.
They're planning a nationwide vigil for tomorrow, CB. 6 p.m. They're doing it in Cleveland. Constitutional vigil. And it says, bring signs, banners, candles, flashlights, and lots of your friends. And apparently that's going to go on all over the country. I still like the idea of doing it without saying a blessed word.
Oh, me too. The beauty of that is that, truly that you don't, people can't come back at you for banging on drums and mock your dreadlocks and all the rest of that stuff. in order to make the rest of your statement go away.
Dogs that are barking aren't biting.
Yeah.
It's the dogs that are just sitting there. That's when you got trouble. And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's how we make them understand, through our silence. I don't know. I don't know, but Good Friday, I'm going
to
find me a chunk of green grass in front of some federal building, and I'm sitting down.
Yeah.
And
I'm hoping I can afford the gas to get to a federal building.
Well, isn't that the truth?
maybe a Forest Service office, you know, an hour or so away from.
Yeah, because you're up in Northern California, right?
I'm about as Northern California as you can possibly get.
Throw a rock and hit Oregon.
Throw a rock and hit Oregon. Throw a rock and hit the Pacific Ocean. That's me.
Oh man, that sounds like paradise. CD.
Well, in a sense, it is paradise. It's hard to concentrate on the paradise of this place when so much is so wrong and so bad. And I do have to tell myself all the time, all right, run outside, look at the moon, the other day there was a double rainbow that was just to die for. It was so gorgeous, you know, and I just have to remind myself, go out there and look at that, you know, because there has to be something to intervene between, the torture videos and the 9/11, the proof, the absolute proof positive that 9/11 was an inside job. Okay, there isn't any doubt anymore. I know a lot of people doubt it because, you know, the company line is otherwise, but in fact,
I'm sure you've heard our buddy Rick from Panama City call in.
Yeah.
He sent me a clip from the episode of The Lone Gunman.
Yeah.
It describes, you know, the whole 9/11 thing in a nutshell in a TV show that was run a few months before 9/11 actually went down.
Woo!
Yeah, I tell you what, I'll forward that to you.
Thanks.
I will forward that to you because it makes the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up. My main concern, though, and I don't mean to seem callous with this, CB. I'm done with 9/11. 9/11 happened. I'm not nearly as concerned with 9/11 as I am with 11/11 or 3/3 or 4/4. Whenever the next one comes, I want us to be in a position to stop the damn thing.
Well, I'm right with you on that one. That my only issue I take with that is I do believe that a whole lot of these people who are still hanging in there with the neocons would stop when they finally realized that 9/11 was not.
You're
a
never,
you know,
CB. I applaud your attempt, but you are never going to get those people. I mean, I'm not a bummer. I'm not trying to be a bummer, but you're not going to get them because, again, you've got to deal with the full component of why they believe the way that they believe, and one of those components is racism. Okay, the Republican Party is a racist party. It just is.
Yeah.
And there is a component. The people who supported going to war in Iraq, you know, they can talk about weapons of mass destruction all day long. They can talk about their yellow cake. They can talk about their mobile weapons labs. They can talk about all, the evil dictator and how he killed 100,000 of his own people. You know, but they weren't saying a damn thing when their boy George I was turning his back on those same people who were murdered by Saddam. They got no problem with what W's daddy did to them, because he's the one who told them to rise up. And then they rose up, and the CIA said, see you later. And they were slaughtered like dogs in the street. So all those excuses, no. These people enjoy an opportunity to kill brown people. And they hate brown people. And I think you're going to have a hard time convincing them that the Arabs didn't do 9/11 because it legitimizes their racism. Does that make any sense at all, or am
yes,
I mean,
it makes sense. And I'm sitting here trying to. I remember all my attorney friends and stockbroker friends telling me I couldn't stop an IPO that was going to seriously ruin 80,000 acres of timberlands, and not even counting the hundreds of millions of dollars it was going to cost the investing public. They said, it's impossible. What you want to accomplish is impossible. I was told that at every turn. I accomplished it anyway.
Well, you know what? By my saying that I don't think you can.
Yeah.
That's just my doofus opinion. Yeah. I want you to be right. I want you to succeed, and I want to be the first person there when you do to say, I am the happiest man on God's green little planet to say that I was wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I know where you're coming from with that. I just can't forget that there are a whole lot of conservatives out there who do have hearts of gold, who do really try and be compassionate people.
Well, maybe that's
amazingly heart-filled things on a personal level.
Maybe that's how you approach them then, because you know what? If they've done all that, they're not conservatives.
Right. They think they're conservatives. They're just hypnotized.
Well, they've been told that that's the only thing they can be. And this goes into the little media rant that I do every now and then, CB. How can you expect, I mean, the polling data, I saw something from Al Fromm at the Democratic Leadership Council the other day saying that more Americans identify themselves as conservative than liberal. Well, yeah, they kind of do, because that's been the only thing that they were allowed to be for the last 25 years. For anybody who, for whom the opinion of other people matters, and they have to go around amongst these people that call themselves conservatives, they're going to call themselves conservatives. And I'm sorry, it's going to piss off a few people, CB, but you know the same thing applies to Germany. Everybody was a Nazi.
Yes.
A Nazi was all you could be. You couldn't be a Christian Democrat in Nazi Germany, and you can't be a liberal or a progressive, or you can't be one of those things in conservative America. So if somebody I've got a flat tire out here on the side of the road, and somebody pulls over to help me, I mean, this is West Virginia, CB, and there's every chance in the world that, you know, if we were to sit down, I'd take them for a cup of coffee by way of thank you, and I say, you know, and it comes up, and then, well, you know, I'm a conservative.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, conservatives, the real ones, don't stop on the side of the road and help you change a tire. Conservatives, the real ones, won't pass a dollar bill out the window to the guy standing there at the off-ramp. Conservatives won't—they won't gather together to help their communities. They don't want people. You know, those aren't—they're not—they're only conservatives because it's been all they are allowed to be, and that's why we're trying to do. You know, whether it's me or Air America or any of the other Young Turks, any of those guys, giving people an opportunity to understand what conservatism is and what real Americanism is.
Well,
because I'm tired of isms. I'm tired of liberalism. I'm tired of progressivism. I'm tired of conservatism. I'm about ready for a little bit of Americanism.
Absolutely. So I don't know whether it's my mood, my nuked nerves from all this stuff I've been going through lately or what, but it, you know, when I'm listening to you, who I love to smithereens and just can't stand the thought of skipping one of your shows, but it sounds to me a little bit like you are alienating those non-conservative conservatives out there when you're, you know...
Well, wait, you told me you're Zen, right?
I am Zen. And
okay.
And it's, I don't feel very Zen right now, but ultimately that's true.
Okay, but you know how it is that sometimes you're the student is sitting there and he's meditating or whatever, and the master just comes up behind him and whacks him in the back of the head for no apparent reason, right?
Yep. That's one kind of Zen, yes.
That would be very alienating.
It's meant to bump you into realization, to bump you
and
out of yourself.
And that's what I'm trying to do. Anyone who hears me knows who I'm talking about. I mean, that's like Agnes is forever reminding me when I go off on one of my little Christianity tangents. You know, make sure you make it clear, Bob, that you're not talking about... You know, I'm talking about the religion industry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Republicans, doggone it, that's how they act. And, you know, I don't want to alienate anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm the last guy in the world that would hurt anybody.
Well, I happen to think that, you know, most of America, certainly rural America, which may be what, you know, the whole the whole battle right there, would fall madly in love with you. But I also can't forget that most of these guys resent the living daylights out of intellectualism. You know, they...
And that is their fault and not mine.
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, I mean... Absolutely. It is their fault. It's laziness. It is purposeful ignorance, as in ignore ants.
Yes.
For sure. So, but I'm trying to think of ways to call to these guys who have hearts. They really do.
There will be a day when you will not have to call them, CB. There will be a day when they will call to you.
Oh, God, I hope you're right.
No, there will be, because you know what? You're there, and you understand, and you know what the real deal is, okay? What's the poem? I think it's William Wordsworth. He says, we lay waste our lives getting and spending, coming and going. That's where they are, CB. That's exactly where they are. And when the day comes that they can no longer get and spend... and come and go, they will wonder what their lives have become, because they will be empty and they will be without. They will be a great form and void.
Well, that's then the silver lining of this these rapid fire atrocities, because these guys aren't going to be able to spend and go for five more minutes. You know, it's that bleak.
Yeah.
So they will start turning.
So, you know, I know. I mean, I poke a lot of fun, but I mean, when we're talking about the leadership, the people these people voted for. You know, if you ever get an opportunity, CB, to really engage someone in why did you vote for George Bush and don't you regret it now? You know, the stuff I learned in the basement of the Baptist church, CB, was all, you know, it said that, you know, the first step on the road was repentance.
Yeah,
and you know, people, you know, the you know, when I hear Michael Savage, you know, and you're a lot closer geographically to him than I am, and that's the one thing I like better about where I am. When you hear them talking about, you know, the Bush family's a bunch of crooks, it's a criminal enterprise, blah 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 blah. Okay, that's fine. You're saying all that. Now repent. Now tell me that you will never vote for another Republican so long as you live, because now you see them for how they are. And 9 out of 10 of those people, the hardcore CB, will go, well, no, see, it's just that George Bush got it wrong.
Well, it's all about ego. This is serious Zen talk we have here. That's all about ego.
Yeah.
Repentance, you know, isn't for knuckling under to some other power, a greater power, any of it. Repentance is all about cleaning your own slate, opening your own mind to be able to go forward in a positive direction.
Right.
That's the entirety of it.
So I hope you'll understand, you know, when I begin to lose my mind from time to time, I'm just trying to slap somebody in the back of the head for their own good. CB, you have yourself a wonderful evening, okay?
Well, I'm going to try, but I remind everybody to watch Stephen E. Jones, okay?
Okay. And this is a link at bradblog.com.
There's an ad for it, and you click on that ad. There's a place where you can play the video, and if you can't play the video, you can go to the Google thing, whatever.
Stephen E. Jones.
Yes.
Brigham Young University.
Brigham Young University. And he started up a group called, what is it, Scholars for Truth or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And but the way I know to do it is to click that link on Bradblog. And it's irrefutable. This was not any Arabs coming in and bombing the World Trade Center. The facts are in and coming in more and more with the passing of each day. A whole lot of the loose change videos based on this guy's work, the second edition. But he's a Republican.
I know. There's another academic emeritus professor, down at Texas A&M, that was in the Bush administration.
Yeah.
And you know, he's the one that came out and said it's physically impossible for a plane flying into a building like the World Trade Center for that building to fall the way the World Trade Center fell.
And there are anomalies like that all over the place. You know, maybe one of the biggest ones is that those fires could not possibly have made the towers.
Well, the thing that really blew me away in Loose Change, CB, were the little explosions taking place inside the World Trade Center before the planes hit.
Exactly. And there's all kinds of testimony about that. So, you know, you really can't say they're lying anymore because there's too many people, too many of the original news reports that got ditched after the official line came out that make it impossible for you to believe the line anymore.
Well, and it's like I've said before, I don't know what happened in New York. I don't know what happened at the Pentagon. But I know what happened in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Because I've got a friend who watched it happen on the radar scope.
Yeah.
And that thing was shot down.
Yeah. Well,
and but you see, they think the American people are too cowardly. See, cowards think everyone else is a coward. And they think that, you know, we don't have the guts to realize that was a necessity.
Well, and these guys are also relying on us being as ignorant as we were back when we had the Warren Commission.
Well, sure, yeah, and they don't understand that didn't make us more likely to believe this. That made us less likely because we still don't believe what they say happened to Kennedy happened to Kennedy.
Well, that's one of my biggest sources of hope. Right here is that, you know, now that we have the internet, now that we have a way for people to find out what's actual as opposed to the garbage we're fed over the mainstream media, that maybe we can fight it this time.
Well, see, and that's the one thing. You know, I wish there was more focus on the Western Pennsylvania plane to the extent that there needs to be any more focus. I wish there was more focus on that because when you stop and you think about why that thing had to be shot down, it will make your blood run cold.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, you know, again, if the thesis is that it wasn't Arabs, all right,
mm-hmm.
then that means that someone was deliberately flying that plane into that building or heading it toward Washington, D.C. And the fact that it had to be shot down, you know, it wasn't shot down because, I mean, if all of this fits together, you with me?
Mm-hmm.
If all of this fits together and that plane was also on its way to Washington, D.C., and it wound up having to be shot down, that means that, yeah, some of that stuff did take place inside the plane. Some of that let's roll stuff did take place inside the plane. But what they were rolling on, CB, what they were rolling on was trying to stop it from going to Washington, D.C., and that is why it had to be shot down.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that most of the people who helped them pull that off got offed really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, double-crossed and shot.
And this is not. And this is, of course, and I don't really like to do the 9/11 thing very often, and I try to keep my mouth fairly closed about it because I'll be honest, I don't want to marginalize myself because I do want to reach out and I do want to talk to people. And it's very, very, very possible to be told, you know, well, there goes a conspiracy theorist, you know, get him when you do this. But
whatever help it might be, I held myself back from being a conspiracy theorist on this one part for many years. I left it open to I don't know, even though my gut was telling me.
My gut's been telling me the same thing.
Yes.
I still want some more questions answered.
Oh, absolutely. So does everybody.
I want to know where Barbara Olson is.
You did hear there was a report that she was found on at some border station in Europe, in Germany or something like that.
No, I didn't.
That came up on the radar screen for a nanosecond and then blipped back.
You ever been clicking along and you see the word AKAMAI in your internet travels?
No.
A fairly important company, a Cami or a Kami or whatever, the head of that corporation was on one of those flights. You know, everybody that was on that plane that went into that supposedly went in the Pentagon, I want to know where the hell they are. And that's always been the really huge sticking point for me. If it wasn't that plane, and it was a cruise missile or whatever it is they say it was, if it wasn't that and it was a cruise missile, I want to know where the people are. Did they just fly him off to Area 51 and quietly kill him? I don't know.
Well, in the loose change video, the one flight was found landing there, and the people were taken over into the NASA building in Cleveland at the airport there, and never seen or heard from again. So it could be that the other flight, the Pentagon flight, landed someplace else, and something similar happened.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'm saying. For me, a lot of loose change creates more questions than it answers.
The part of it that I like so much is that it does tell you what didn't happen in a few instances.
The analysis of the engine parts at the Pentagon I found absolutely fascinating and quite compelling.
Yep. And the cell phone calls being impossible.
But the part that kind of got me was the missile launcher under the 757 or whatever it was. Because, you know, they point out, you know, that any ground crew, any crew, any passengers getting, well, what the hell is that thing? That it would be hard not to notice it, you know, sitting there on the tarmac at Logan.
They took that out of the second edition.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
I think they took that out because there wasn't enough proof and the pictures were too cloudy to be able to, you know, he took the Stephen E. Jones stuff and stuck the stuff that was really provable, you know. That's why the second edition is such an improvement from the first one, even though the first one seemed more compelling in a lot of ways.
Well, you know, the problem is it was used for good or ill, you know, and that was another thing. It's interesting you would bring all of this up this evening, CB, because I was rolling around in my head earlier in the day, and one of the things that it seems like it's getting a lot more traction these days, the whole 9/11 thing, and I was wondering to myself earlier today whether that's good or bad. I'm really concerned with whether there's an attempt to manipulate us here by getting, you know, a little bit more of that stuff out there. Because you know what? Regardless of who did 9/11, the people we attacked in retribution for it, everyone agrees, had nothing to do with it.
Absolutely.
And there is the manifest evil of which this nation must be cleansed.
Yes, and I've been booed off of a whole lot of internet sites for insisting that we're war criminals and should, you know, pay all the penalties due. They're going, no way, you know.
Well, you know, I love it when I get from the right-wing so-called Christians when I tell them that they should stop ending all of their stuff with God bless America and end it with God forgive America, because, you know, the fact of the matter is that's right in line with their doctrine.
Exactly.
But they don't want to hear that.
No.
They don't want to hear that America has anything to be forgiven for.
Never did.
No.
Ask my Indian ancestors.
Yeah, right. You know, they're just in the way. CB, we're going to roll on. We're about done for the night. But I sure did enjoy the conversation. And, gosh, I'm sorry to have defamed February.
Really? I mean, keep your priorities straight. Some of the most wonderful people in history were born in February.
I know, Abe Lincoln, George Washington, but around hereabouts in these parts, it really gets you down.
Smokey Robinson, Copernicus.
Yeah, I know, and Agnes just looked at me and said, your daughter was born in February, you moron. I know that.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Nighty-night.
Bye now. Moron?
Moron.
Moron. Harsh.
Nice.
It's not about the people. It's about it's about the time of year. And this is, well, stop it, Bob. Okay, I want to leave you with just a couple of things that have been floating around for a couple of days. An email from our buddy Andy in Wales, for starters, and he says, "You're right, man. They aren't evil, Jenny. They are evil and stupid." Repeat this every time you hear one of those names, like this, enter an applicable name here. This Rumsfeld is evil and stupid. You can switch the evil and stupid around if that person is more stupid than evil, like George W., and add emphasis to one or the other word. Rove, well, he'd be evil and stupid. We're figuring it out a little bit at a time. You know, it takes some work. It's hard to come. You know, these people, well, how many times have you heard from some pop psychologist or whatever that what you fear, it's not what you fear, it's the fear itself. Oh, we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. You know, I hate going to the dentist. I do. I loathe going to the dentist. But it's everything that leads up to the point where the dentist does what the dentist does that I don't like. It's what I do to me that I wind up not liking. Because any pain there is transient in nature. And it's over pretty quick and the drugs are pretty good. No, I don't know if you saw this. This is a little less than a week ago from appearances by Kinda Sleazy Rice in front of the Congress and Don Rumsfeld, Rummy, in front of the Congress. Did this get coverage on the major networks? Did this quite make it to Fox? I somehow suspect not. But the administration admitted, they sat down and admitted that key sectors of the Iraqi economy have fallen below pre-war levels. Now, that's all fancy journalism speak for they were better off under Saddam than they are under us. Ms. Rice, she of the fabulous Ferragamo shoes, admitted that production of crude oil and electricity is down from 3 years ago because crude oil production this month is running at 1.7 million barrels a day. That's still not chump change. But it's down from a post-invasion, the best we've ever had after we invaded Iraq. Like I was saying to CB, whether or not Arabs did 9/11, or little green men from Mars, or if you can fly a Predator drone with a little computer joystick, well, you know, can you do that with a Boeing aircraft? Who knows? Whoever did it, the people that we started slaughtering for it didn't. Didn't at all. And back before we started trying to kill them, they were pumping more than 2.5 million barrels a day. And after we invaded and started slaughtering them, the best we've ever been able to do was 2.5 million barrels a day. And that was September 2004. That was a year and a half ago. She also, Ms. Rice did, she said that many more Iraqis, you know, this is the part where, why won't they tell the happy news about Iraq, how they gotten out, you know, they get to flush their toilets 6 times a day. Under Saddam, they only got to flush 4. And Kinda Sleazy came out and said that many more Iraqis were now getting potable water and sewage services. You know, she came in and she told that stupid lie. Stupid lies for stupid people. She told that stupid lie, but then she got questioned a little bit and she admitted that, what it is capacity has increased. But you see, fewer Iraqis are actually receiving those services, not the least among whom are the dead ones we killed. You know, that didn't have anything to do with anything. They were just kind of sitting there eating dinner when the missile fell on them. And it was also noted in these hearings, almost all economic indices, here in the hills we'd say indexes, almost all economic indices showed that Iraq was better off before the U.S. invaded and started slaughtering them. And yet, you see, our poor soldiers, our poor, pitiful soldiers, are still being told that they're making it better for Iraqis by killing them. And that breaks my heart. And that partially explains the PTSD problem. Because they come home after being in an absolute information dead zone, and they find out that they weren't making it better. Oh, baby, they were making it worse. And that has got to be hell on the human psyche. And then finally, yeah, our old buddy Rumsfeld. What did he say? Where is it? Where's the Rummy quote? I guess I've put it aside, the rummy quote. I didn't hear about it until this weekend. Now, honest to God, that's the first time I've sobered up in ages, and they told me this weekend. Oh, I voted on it February 13th. I was drunk. Or maybe that was the day I was doing the acid. I mean, with Rumsfeld, who knows? No, Rumsfeld got grilled a little bit. And, you know, in Rumsfeld speak, you know how it is with Rummy. He's the... Oh, there's another movie reference. The Usual Suspects. Donald Rumsfeld reminds me of one of the characters from The Usual Suspects. Yeah, for the most part, the country is functioning. Every country functions. Yeah, the country's functioning. It's not a pretty picture. But here's the kicker. This is the one you're going to love the best. We're not there to do nation building. It's going to be an Iraqi solution, ultimately. He's like some sort of twisted Walter Winchell, you know? We're not here to do nation building. They're crazy. Crazy, evil, and stupid. They said they weren't going to do nation building, then they said they had to do nation building, and then Donald Rumsfeld comes out and says they're not doing nation building. And then, there's the element of truth in that. They're not doing nation building. They're still doing nation destroying. Eh, but what the hell. Let's knock off for the night. I'd kind of like to do another hour, but I can't. thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. We do so very much appreciate your participation, your kind thoughts, your emails, your good vibes. And we enjoy it so much that we'll be back again tomorrow night, same time.